State environmental officials continue to investigate the presence of the chemical known as PFOA in the drinking water of some southern New Hampshire towns. Results are in for a total of 67 wells in Litchfield and Merrimack. And while almost all water sources contain some background levels of PFOA, a total of 20 wells are above the threshold the state has set as qualifying for free bottled water. A meeting is being held tonight in Bedford to discuss results from the latest round of testing, and the Department of Environmental Services continues to test wells and will receive more sample results in the coming weeks. Meanwhile, questions remain about the long-term health effects of the chemical and what amount, if any, is safe to drink. Dr. Richard Clapp is a professor of environmental health at Boston University. He's done extensive research on PFOA. I talked with him recently and began by asking him to tell us what PFOA is.
Well, PFOA is a 8-carbon-chained chemical that has fluorine attached to it at every possible place. So it's a very stable, long-lasting chemical in the environment, actually in human bodies as well.
What's it used for?
It was originally, I think, used for non-stick surfaces. It was used in the production of Teflon, the coating of fry pans, for example, to keep food from sticking. And it's also been used in other non-stick or non-stain type applications.
Now, in those applications, where it doesn't get into the bloodstream, it doesn't have any effect at all. Is that correct?
Right. If it doesn't get ingested either by being on food or in drinking water, then it wouldn't have an effect on humans.
Okay. But because it's such a long-lasting compound, it doesn't break down in the environment, as you said, it's become a real issue. And it's actually been detected in low levels in just about everybody. Isn't that true?
Yes. There's a national sample of blood samples taken from U.S. citizens every couple of years. And in the recent results from that, they've looked for PFOA and have found it in virtually everybody.
You co-authored a review of PFOA research last year. What were the takeaways from that study?
The review was really looking at the literature up through approximately the beginning of 2014. And there's been a lot published in the recent years. So it was a summary of what we've learned recently, that it looks like PFOA is linked to cancer in humans, two kinds of cancer in particular, kidney cancer and testicular cancer, and then several other diseases, including hypertension during pregnancy, thyroiditis, colitis, and high cholesterol. There are some other studies that have shown other health effects, even on the immune response and other types of cancer, and those are more inconsistent.
Yeah, we should also point out that these studies do link it with these certain types of cancer, but it's not proven conclusively, but those studies are pointing towards that. Is that true?
Yes. It's called a probable human carcinogen, or actually the studies done in West Virginia, they use the term probable link. There's a probable link to two types of cancer and PFOA.
We're seeing different reactions from states that are dealing with this. Here in New Hampshire, environmental officials are providing bottled water to those whose wells tested higher than 100 parts per trillion. But in Vermont, officials there are saying that anything more than 20 parts per trillion is not safe to drink. So what does the research that you've seen suggest?
The level that the EPA has set a provisional level for short-term exposure is 400 parts per trillion, and the EPA is expected to lower that for long-term exposure to 100 parts per trillion. Anything above that in drinking water should be avoided.
What do we know about the prevalence of PFOA in drinking water systems around the country?
It's been found in many different locations. I don't have the exact number now, but for example, where there are manufacturing companies like DuPont or like St. Gobain in the northern New England states and upstate New York, where those have existed and have not handled their waste properly and has been dumped on the ground and into groundwater or even into bodies of water like rivers, it is therefore polluting people's water supply if they drink groundwater in many parts of the country.
You've done a lot of research, obviously, on PFOA, but what are still the biggest unknowns?
I think the biggest one is really this immune effect. It's an effect seen in children who are just getting their vaccinations. And if that's true, if that's repeated in other populations by other researchers, that means that there's an effect at a very low level and that these provisional standards that EPA and other states are setting need to be revisited. And the other thing is, as we learn more about PFOA as a cause of cancer, there's a different federal law which says that if something is known to cause cancer, the goal is to have zero levels in drinking water. That's called the maximum contaminant level goal for carcinogens. It's zero parts per trillion. And if that's the case, then, as it turns out, we have carcinogens in our drinking water now, and that's because the law says, well, if it's feasible technically and economically feasible, the level should be zero. And for some of these things, it's not feasible technically or economically. That might be a sort of compromise that affects PFOA if it's determined to be a known human carcinogen. But again, that will lower the levels below what are being proposed now.
So is the consensus that this chemical needs to be phased out over time?
Well, it has been phased out, actually. In fact, I think most of the companies in the U.S. that make it are either in the process of phasing it out or have already phased it out. So, yes, that I think is the right answer, is that there's got to be a way of getting the non-stick properties without a chemical that's as harmful as PFOA.
Dr. Richard Clapp, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.